having been there a few times as a delegate, the lobby.
Hang on a second. Well, you've kept this completely buried forever.
Well, only ever is an underage delegate.
So, well, what does an underage delegate mean?
Someone that's not 60.
Yeah, exactly.
OTB AM. Live. Weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
We're turning our attention back to a brilliant win for the Republic of Ireland women's team against Finland on Tuesday night. And I'm delighted to say Áine Gorman is with us. Áine, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? All good. And yourself?
Yeah. So what was the atmosphere like in the dressing room immediately after an away win like that? Because these wins, they don't happen very often in anybody's careers, but that's a big, big win. So what was the atmosphere actually like?
Yeah, look, it's probably the biggest win I've been part of today. Look, obviously there's a good buzz around the place, a good confidence and a good belief as well. But I think it's important as well that we keep our feet planted, grounded, that because there's still a long way to go in this campaign. But obviously it helps when you get off to such a good start.
Yeah, it's a balancing act really, isn't it? Because you want to bottle that moment and make that the thing that inspires everybody, but you don't want everybody to get too carried away to think that it's going to be easy. So it's like, let's feed off this and let's remember exactly how we feel, because it's a very special moment. So I guess your experience helps when it comes to having those conversations with people.
Yeah, I think so. Look, I think it's important to enjoy the moment as well and enjoy a victory, especially in the nature we won the game in the end. It was kind of back to the wall stuff for the last 10-15 minutes, and we all stuck together, showed great camaraderie, and got the game over the line. And mind you, that last 4 minutes of at a time is the longest 4 minutes of my life. I was never so relieved when the referee blew the whistle. But yeah, look, it's important to enjoy the moment and take the good things out of the game and see where we can still improve, and look forward to the game next month against Slovakia and Georgia. I think Slovakia can't be underestimated at all. They're really, really good fourth seed. So that game's really, really vital for us too.
Can you talk us through the second goal, Áine? Because obviously it comes from your interception.
Yeah, look, I think I'd just been taking up them positions when we were attacking them. The left all game was coming in a little bit, and yeah, just managed to win the ball and play it out to Jamie Finn. And obviously it was a really, really good turn by her. Played it down to Heather Payne, who was on fire all game, drove inside. Maybe the keeper could have done better, but the hunger and desire for it by Denise O'Sullivan to get to the back post. And it was a great goal. And look, it was a great reaction, I think, to them getting back in the game. And then it was 1-1 and we kept driving on. I think there was only 2 minutes in the difference, and we went up to the pitch and got the goal back. And to me, that's the difference in this team as well, that belief and that confidence that we'll stick to our game plan and we'll keep going till the end.
When Finland had a lot of the possession in the second half, Ireland were still creating chances, not least the goal, Denise O'Sullivan's goal in the second half. How much of that was a consistent plan and something you talked about in training and the build-up to the game, sort of sitting in but not parking the bus, sitting in and waiting for the opportunity to catch them on the break?
Yeah, for me, I think it's just obviously we want to remain compact and organised throughout the game and then push forward and press when we can and press when it's on. But if you have to drop off for moments in the games when maybe teams are dominant, and I think that's something we're good at, something we've taken probably from the Australia game, the Australia friendly, and the Sweden game, where I think we were unfortunate in the end maybe not to get a point out of that game. And we managed to bring into the Finland game as well. So it's good. It's obviously good that we're able to be flexible in our team organisation.
You've 110 caps, you've seen everything, right? I'm very interested in the evolution of this team, because it looked like it would have been easy for the group to become self-conscious and lacking in confidence after the run of defeats in the friendlies. But then there was obviously something building throughout that, just you weren't getting the results to go together. The big win against Australia is obviously hugely important. And then it would have been very easy to feel a little bit depressed again after an own goal costing you against one of the best teams in the world. But that didn't happen. You took confidence from the defeat, which is a sign that the group believes in what they're doing. Is that a fair summation of how it's going?
Yeah, I think so. I think we obviously played a lot of friendly games against higher ranked nations, and that was in preparation for moments like you've seen in the Finland game, playing against Sweden. Australia for me, that camp was kind of the turning point where that belief and that confidence came into our play as well, and all the hard work in the previous building up to the previous friendlies finally started to play off. And there's a lot of learnings from when you play higher ranked opposition as well, and you have to learn from all their moments all the times, and the highs and the lows, and probably even learning from previous campaigns. And I think we're all determined that this is our moment to qualify for campaign. But like I say, we keep having to take it one game at a time. There's still a long way to go.
What about the Australia camp gave you that belief? Obviously, the result was there, but what was happening behind the scenes there that gave you that belief that you mentioned?
Yeah, I think everyone's just been training well and regrouped after obviously a little bit of a break and just happy to get back in. Obviously, the equal pay announcement, Sky Sports coming on board, and just all the backing we're getting as well. And you can even see the backing we're getting even on social media and the positivity around the team. So that's obviously great to see. And I think we're feeding off that as well. And that's kind of like a welcome pressure. And we keep having to build on that and grow as a team going forward.
It will be an interesting contrast if this team does get to a playoff between, as you mentioned there, the amount of backing this team is getting in this campaign compared to, say, the time you guys played in Iceland.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose it's like night and day. But that's where the game's grown, I think, globally as well, across the world, that women's football is probably one of the fastest growing sports. So obviously it's great to see that we're back here in Ireland and people are getting behind us, and Tala was sold out the last for the Sweden game, and we hope we see the same with back to full capacity in November, and that everyone gets out and supports us and really rallies us on, and we keep continuing to get the results we need to reach that World Cup playoff. But they're still, like I keep going back to, still a long way to go.
In terms of the evolution of the style of play as well, you talked about knowing when to press and when not to. I definitely feel like Irish teams, we do like to put the opposition under pressure. It's, you know, it's part of our DNA since the 80s, and we like to be scrappy and we like to be causing trouble for the opposition. It gives us a sense of being, look, generally we will end up with our backs to the wall at some point in the game, but it does also give us a sense, at least, that we're taking the fight to the opposition. How has that pressing game evolved? Because it was very evident early on in the Finland game in particular that was definitely what you were trying to do.
Yeah, look, I think it's just having belief in our team organisation and our team setup that we're all working cohesively together, that if one presses that we all follow through, and that we're obviously organised, whether we're dropping off or we're stepping on the front foot as well. So it's obviously something that we work on. There's good team communication, a good cohesion, maybe a little bit more consistency in the squad, and the team helps that as well and transpire on the pitch. So look, we have to pick our moments. We've got a hugely talented squad. Like, you look at the likes of Katie McCabe, Denise O'Sullivan, Heather Payne, who I mentioned was off the charts the other day, and a lot of experience as well with Niamh Fahey and Louise Quinn. So there's a really good recipe there for success. So we have to keep it going.
How long does that game actually take to get right, Anya? Like, how many training sessions did it take before you started to realise, okay, this pressing game is going somewhere and we're really working as a unit?
Yeah, look, I think it's, like I said, something just started to click. I think in the Australia game, we've learned from maybe our previous defeats to Iceland, Denmark and Belgium, and obviously we're prepared in our game plan and we went out and executed as well. But yeah, look, it is work in progress, and just having that belief, obviously, and with the players around us that we can go on. And I think it's something we're always really good at is just working hard and getting stuck in and playing with that passion and pride. Like you said, it's in our DNA that we're there. We'll always fight till the end.
Yeah, and the two last things I wanted to ask you about. Eileen Gleeson obviously is heading over to Glasgow, and like, that's great that there are coaches coming through the Irish system who are getting jobs like that. And you know, obviously everybody wishes her the very best. At the same time, it's clear she's going to be a bit of a loss from the Ireland setup.
Yeah, I think so. I think Eileen will be a big loss, and obviously she's got a lot of knowledge and experience and a great passion for the game in Ireland. She's been involved in the Women's National League and women's football in Ireland for a long, long time, and is obviously Irish true and true. So I suppose obviously just want to take the moment to wish Eileen the best of luck, and she will be missed, but hopefully we'll catch up with her again soon.
It is a good sign that people are coming looking at this setup and going, yeah, we're going to take some of the coaches from here, and that you can come through the Irish system and then end up working at a club like Glasgow. Again, it's not great that we have to export everything all the time, but at the same time, if we do, then it's great that people are getting recognised for that.
Yeah, definitely. I think Eileen's obviously worked really hard for years as a pro licensed coach, abundance of knowledge, very dedicated to football and her role as a coach and a manager, and any time I've worked under her. So it's it's definitely more than she deserves, and I suppose it's something for coaches coming through the system to aspire to too.
You mentioned some of the class players we have at the moment. How do we make sure that the players who are full-time and getting the opportunity to rest and recover, and the players who aren't full-time, that the gap doesn't get too big, that we continue to make sure that the home-based players are as progressive as they need to be to continue the drive to qualify for the World Cup?
Yeah, look, obviously we've got home-based training sessions, which we'd like to see happen more regularly, but if not that, a lot of hard work and dedication goes in. The girls are going training with boys teams to get extra sessions in. Obviously club football's still in full flow as well for the next few weeks too. So I think it's just doing what you have to do to get up to that level and be ready when you go into camp that you're at that level. And look at like Savannah McCarthy in the squad, and I love seeing Women's National League players in the team, and I think it just shows all the hard work and dedication. And it's nights like that in Finland that it all pays off for me. So look, I'd love to see the Women's National League go semi-professional in time. So hopefully that will happen soon.
And how often are you guys having the home-based training sessions? So that essentially that's the national squad coming together and training, is it?
Yeah, so we have any players that are based in Ireland and will come together. So we at least come together at least once before every camp we go in. So that just gives us that extra session just to make that step up so we're ready when we meet up with the rest of the squad.
And in an ideal world, would that happen once every fortnight, once a week, once a month? If money was no object and time was available to everybody, what would be perfect on you?
If money was no object, we'd love to all be full-time here in Ireland. But yeah, like once a week, once every 2 weeks would be ideal. But at the moment, it's once a month. Look, and it's obviously working to a certain degree because we're still going out there and getting the results, but that's what I'd like to see in the future alongside the teams going semi-professional.
And is training with the lads working for you, Anya?
Yeah, I think so. I really enjoy it. Obviously, it's obviously a good pace and good tempo teams set training sessions. So I go training with the under 17 boys in Bray Wanderers as well. So yeah, truly enjoy that. And it's obviously helping my game progress.
You know, as I said, you've seen the whole roller coaster of emotions about what it's like to be involved with the Ireland football team and seen how the sport has grown. At the moment, what's your sense about your own involvement into the future as well? And I'm obviously not retiring you at all here, but like, I guess at various stages in the past, most of your teammates and contemporaries would have had I'm done with this, I'm walking away, I've had enough. But it feels like now, your generation in particular are going to be the next generation who kicks this sport on into the future. Is that something that you see, that you feel is part of your own future?
Yeah, look, I suppose the game here is growing all the time. There's obviously, I'm doing my coaching badges at the moment as well, and hopefully when the time comes and I retire again, and Owen I don't think knows about the highs and lows any more than myself. So look, hopefully that players, when they evolve, they stay involved in the game in some capacity, and but while you're still playing, you have to enjoy it and keep creating that legacy.
On a week like this, you must be pretty happy with your decision to come out of retirement.
Yeah, it all pays off. Like, I think it's nights like that in Helsinki that make it all worthwhile. And obviously, we really enjoyed the moment and just grinding out that result. So look, really excited for the future. And let's go into next month with lots of positivity.